What's up, guys? Welcome to the Weekly Pass. We are going to be talking about all things NFL. The season has begun. We have so much to talk about. Let's dive in right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz...
You know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow,
black and yellow, black and yellow.
Yes.
I love it. This is the perfect song for this. Since I am on a high with my Steelers, at least pulling out a tie. At least pulling out a tie against
you're
the
Browns. You're on a high with the Steelers, pulling out a tie with the Cleveland
Browns.
Yes,
we'll talk about that in a minute. But first of all, welcome to the Weekly Pass. I am Becky Sotero. This is David H.
Hello,
Balloon.
H,
you can follow us
the
on
H. Wow.
Yeah, got the H in there.
The
you can follow us
there.
On all of our social media. I guess we should address the most important person missing, Bonnie Jill.
Mm-hmm.
She is up in San Francisco. We just want to give you guys an update. She did receive an amazing job opportunity in San Francisco. She's going to be with KNBR 680 up in San Francisco. It's a radio, radio station.
Thing.
So she's doing her thing.
Living her life.
She will be. This is obviously still her show, so she'll be joining us next week. We'll just have her looped in. So that'll be exciting to hear all about her next steps.
I'm excited to hear about it. I haven't got a chance to. You know, hear about a lot of it. I know she's been so busy.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I want to know what's going on
in
your life.
I know. So we will keep all of you guys up to date on that. Make sure you follow us on BJL Weekly Pass on Twitter, and we'll keep you up to date on everything. So another thing we need to talk about, you guys, it is a little bit of a heavy day.
It's
9/11, obviously. Everyone in the world should know that. And 17 years literally to the day. It happened on a Tuesday. I know that you were about five months old.
Couple months old. I was not aware.
Yeah.
I've lived my life in a post 9/11 world. It's been, it's kind of crazy to hear stories of course, the day, but to hear stories about people before, and I know from my parents and where everyone was. And even if they're young enough to have been children when it happened, or if they lived in a whole world and how national security and
Everything changed. Yeah,
that day.
There was a time before that you wouldn't even obviously remember. That
I have no idea.
Where literally anybody could walk you to the gate of your flight, you know, and now it's like security is
that's
so different.
That's been my norm.
It's been your norm.
It's been my norm my entire life.
It's important to address that obviously it's such a heavy day for our history, but we just can't forget the heroism. We can't forget the people that literally gave up their lives to save another life, and the people who are struggling with their health because of, you know, all the fumes and all the things that they, you know, obviously, you know, ingested that day. But just, my goodness, it's just such a pivotal part in history. And there was
really
so much unity. And
it's
you don't know what it was like before. But
I really don't. I really don't know what it was like then. But it's a somber day, and it's a somber story. But coming out of it, it's a story of strength and unity and sacrifice and being able to come together as a country and not fall apart. And it's a story of selflessness and doing things for other people.
Have you ever seen the memorial in New York?
I have. I went there.
It was amazing. It's
breathtaking. I don't have words. I don't actually have words for how amazing it was. And they have the two pools where the tower stood.
Yep.
It is honestly breathtaking.
Yeah.
Like, you walk in, they do the whole metal detector thing, and there's just every inch of that place is just...
We have it up there on the screen for you guys, too. And,
it's
you know, it's just one of those things.
Like,
if you know me, I've always said it's one of those, you know, heartbreaking points in history. But, like,
it
Pearl
really
Harbor,
is.
There's beauty from ashes, literally. There's a reason for it. And our country has never been more divided, more united. And I think it's irony that now, 17 years later, we couldn't be more divided. And
it's
so, and you know, obviously, no one ever wants a tragedy to bring people together. But one thing that does bring, I think, you know, this is an important note to say, one thing that brings everybody together is sports. And I'm not saying that just ironically. I really mean that when that happened, a lot of people did dive into the, you know, NHL season, NFL season, NBA season. It was just like this relief from all that grief. And so I think, you know, it's important to note that at least we have our sports, and that does unite us and it excites us. And but we will never forget. So I just wanted to make sure
we give a little bit of
a salute.
Of course. And sports brings people together, which is the crazy thing is people always ask me, oh, why do you love sports so much? And I'm like, oh, well, I love the game and the following it. But it's the idea of the camaraderie, even not even being on a team, but if anyone's ever been at a game ever and you're in the crowd and you're cheering because whatever sporting event you are, your team just did something good, and you look over to the person next to you and you give them a high five. You've never met that person in your life, but you act like your best friends because you're rooting for one common goal. And sports is an escape But mm-hmm. sports allows people to come together, and it allows people to care mm-hmm. about each other. And sure, people can hate yeah. each other for sports. Like, if you're a fan of the opposing team, mm-hmm. you're going to get hated. But you know, at the end of the day, it's all in camaraderie and sportsmanship.
It is, and that's why I kind of wanted to loop it back into, you know, just there's always positive. There is always, you know,
always
like
find
you said,
a silver lining.
Hope. Yeah,
always,
silver lining.
Always
so, again, we just, on behalf of AfterBuzz and Bonnie Jill and just our show, we just want to extend our thoughts and prayers for everyone affected, still affected. And, you know, we just gotta band together. It's such a negative culture right now. And you know, not only just politically, but everybody just needs encouragement. And I think that, again, just reflecting on that day can really mm-hmm. kind of help put people back in a perspective of what really, truly matters, and that is relationships and life and all that. So that's all I'm going to say on that. We are going to transition into a very exciting weekend of NFL.
A very exciting weekend.
Week one. Overall thoughts on it, David?
Week one, it went like a week one should. The way week one usually goes is you usually always have the team or the player, mostly the player. You have random players just step out of nowhere. Guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick or Austin Elker who just get out of nowhere. Like, they just come from nowhere and they put up, like, big numbers and huge points, and they usually recede back into mm-hmm. where they should not should be, but where they usually are as the following weeks. Week one's all about those underrated players mm-hmm. stepping up, and you have guys like Chris Hogan or Travis mm-hmm. Kelce who are not putting up the numbers you want mm-hmm. them to, and that's just because it's the big players, the big names. They just got to kind of get more into the rhythm.
Sure.
And even guys, I know he got hurt, but even guys like Leonard Fournette who's not mm-hmm. putting up big numbers. You know, versus a guy like DeSean Jackson, who hasn't mm-hmm. been himself in years, and he's still putting up big numbers with huge touchdowns.
Well, and to your point, we'll go into kind of these details, and we got the live chat going, guys. Make sure you participate in the live chat and let us know your thoughts as well. So we'll go one by one. But, you know, I guess to your point, do you feel like really you can gauge much on week one? Like, what's your thoughts about that?
Or you can't.
Do you feel, it's obviously an ever-unfolding situation.
No, you can't.
But how much gravity do you think you can really put on week one?
I think week one, you can give it some credit because week one is still teams and mm-hmm. it's still them working stuff out. And you know you have a lot of new guys mm-hmm. on a lot of new teams and a lot of rookie faces.
Right.
Saquon Barkley didn't have a lot going for him until he scored that 68-yard touchdown against mm-hmm. Jacksonville. Jimmy Graham is new to the Packers and he didn't get a whole lot of action. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks lost Jimmy Graham, so they had to go to Will Dissly and he mm-hmm. performed out of his mind in a very week one performance.
Yeah.
James Conner for the Pittsburgh Steelers took over for Le'Veon Bell in the holdout, and he performed. But I don't see guys like Will Dissly or guys like Geronimo Allison mm-hmm. on the Packers mm-hmm. who caught a great touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers.
By the way, shout out to your jersey. What up?
If you're listening
to the podcast, you're not watching.
If you can't see, it's an Aaron Rodgers jersey that I've had for years, and it's gone through a lot of hardships with me. If anyone wants to remember the disappointing loss to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game.
Oh, we remember. I just think it's so cute that you're wearing your team.
Of course, I have to. He's one of the greatest of all times. And if you can't see what I'm gesturing, there's a picture of him right there.
Absolutely. Well, and again, to kind of let you finish your point, can we go into Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yes, we can.
What a sensational performance. How are you feeling about Jameis coming back? And for people who don't know, Jameis is suspended for 3 games. So, you know, talk about... what does he have to prove when he comes back? Because, I mean, nobody was expecting this game out of him. So
No one expected this one at all. The thing with the Saints, though, is I'll tell you about the Saints and the whole division mm-hmm. is, maybe not the Panthers, but the Saints, they always have barn burner games. That's why if you're ever a fantasy owner and you mm-hmm. want to own some Saints players like Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Michael mm-hmm. Thomas, go for it. Even guys like Ted Ginn or Mark Ingram, Mike Gillisley even. These are good players for good fantasy points, and just in an NFL standpoint, the Saints always have these barn burner games.
Right.
No matter who they're playing, they always just have a way to score a bunch of points because their offense is so high-powered, and their defense just can't match that. The offense will put up so much production that the defense will get lackadaisical, and you have teams like the Buccaneers, and sometimes the Saints lose.
Right.
The Saints can pull them out, but sometimes the Saints will lose games. You know, when they played the Vikings in the playoffs, and they had that miracle game. That was a mm-hmm. back-and-forth game that was high-scoring. But the Buccaneers, led by Ryan Fitzpatrick, mm-hmm. not Jameis Winston.
Man.
Jameis Winston will come back, and they're going to start him.
Of course they are.
He's going to have a lot to prove now.
After that opening game, that's...
I mean, if you look at the receiving core for the Buccaneers, you have guys like Mike Evans, you have guys like DeSean Jackson, you know, landed wrong, out of bounds, but he was still catching passes and looked like when he was on the Eagles. They're still, their receiving core, Mike Evans, people are looking down at it, but Mike Evans is still a top-tier receiver because Mike Evans just, he never had the quarterback behind him. So now that he did, at least this week, he put up good numbers. Their running game has taken a slump ever since they lost Doug Martin. He really didn't perform last year. They have guys like Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones who aren't really top tier. And then they thought, I mean, I was watching the game and I saw Ryan Fitzpatrick. How's he going to do?
Well, and that's the upset of the entire that's the opening weekend, is that nobody expected
He throws four touchdowns, and you don't expect that at all. And these are not, like,
and 417 yards, y'all. Like, that's...
These aren't the run game gets you into the position, and then a guy like Jared Goff will throw a nice little quick touchdown to Cooper Kupp. This is real long passes. You can see the thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick, though, and the reason why he's not going to be a top-tier quarterback is you can see... when he actually throws the ball. On a long pass, I'll go into specifics, to DeSean Jackson when he had that touchdown. The pass was, it looked weak. The actual fundamentals of the pass, the ball was wobbly, it didn't look strong, it looked like he just threw it up there. DeSean Jackson, people don't realize, is actually a really good receiver and actually knows how to track a ball. And he actually caught that one really well, but the pass wasn't there. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think... if he was playing against another team, a stronger defense, he wouldn't have put up these numbers. And, but in New Orleans,
that's the question: is how much could, how much can we really weigh that? And we'll talk a lot about that as well with the Lions, kind of the Lions and the, and the Jets.
That was
there's a lot of lot to be said about that game. Let's go in, and we'll get to that. But let's go into James,
James Conner
filling in for Bell.
James Conner putting up two touchdowns, almost had a third one. They called it back. They went to Antonio Brown instead. Thanks, Big Ben. He's on my fantasy team.
Yes, so good.
Le'Veon Bell, if you know, was on a holdout, has been on a holdout, and they say he'll probably come back in November. Mind you, it's September 11th. We talked about September 11th, but it's September. It's September right now. It's week one, and Le'Veon Bell is not back. This hurts anyone who is a Steelers fan. Took him first overall in fantasy, like a good friend of mine who knows little about football. We make fun of him. But this hurts the Steelers, too. And you know they have a nice receiving core of Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, who showed up. Ben Roethlisberger, as a quarterback, has gone so downhill. He threw, I think they had, what, like six turnovers in that game? He threw a couple of interceptions, more than a couple of interceptions.
Rough game. I mean, he needs
it was real dangerous.
Le'Veon, absolutely. But and I mean, James, that could have been a big difference, too, in the tie.
It could have been huge, because... Ben Roethlisberger is used to being able to hand it to Le'Veon Bell. He does his little stand in front of the line, find the hole, cut in. Like, that's what he does.
We know, we obviously know that QBs rely on the receiver. So
they do. They do.
That's where I think a lot of that problem is.
And it looked to be a receiver game, and no one expected James Conner to step up and do what he did. He just showed up. And it's a very typical thing, though. A lot of people are like, oh, James Conner, who the hell is this? But it's a very typical thing for backups to show up when you don't expect them to. I mean, a guy like Alfred Morris, when Jerick McKinnon got hurt, that's not really the case. But usually, you'll always find that one backup that everyone wants to rely on. Nick Foles is a great example. Perfect example. He shows up just like James Conner showed up. Don't expect this from James Conner every week. Please don't. That is a huge mistake.
And I think that's what we talked about, too, talking about the first weekend and it does, how much does it really matter? You know, are players settling in? And I think that this might have just been something that just was sort of a...
They really are. Know, don't expect this from Patrick Mahomes again. Don't. Because Patrick Mahomes is playing against a Chargers defense that didn't have Joey Bosa, and he had a guy like Tyreek Hill who was on his game, even though Kareem Hunt...
Tyreek had an incredible game.
It was insane. Even though Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce were not on their game... Watkins wasn't even, but Tyreek Hill really carried that team. But don't trust Patrick Mahomes again, just like you can't trust James Conner again.
Yeah, and I think they just had a good game. You know, I think, you can't read into the plays and their, you know, their yards and all of the rushes. I think that it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. But let's kind of dive into Tyreek a little bit. My goodness. So he averaged 22 miles per hour. Two of the fastest record speeds at Sunday's game. So, I mean, what are we to expect for him for the rest of the season? Is he a game changer for the Chiefs?
He is. The thing about Tyreek Hill versus all these other players like Fitzpatrick and Conner is Tyreek Hill can perform every week. maybe not as good as he did. I think he really set the bar high, especially with that 91-yard kickoff return at the beginning of the game.
Stop it. Yeah.
And he had that amazing catch, and he's so fast.
He's got good hands. Yep.
Unfair. He's got great hands.
Great hands, yeah.
For a speed receiver, like you look at a guy like John Ross on the Bengals, you don't think they're going to have great hands, but he has great hands.
Right.
And believe it or not, DeSean Jackson was a speed receiver back in his day, and he had great hands. Didn't have an amazing IQ if you look at some of his plays, but he had great hands. And Tyreek Hill, surprisingly, has really good hands. He can catch the ball well. He can track it well. He knows where he needs to be. He's a great IQ. And I think Patrick Mahomes kind of needed the guy to rely on. If everyone's looking at Patrick Mahomes' yards, these are Tyreek Hill's yards. These are the yards that he got him for short dump-off plays that Tyreek just took to the house and great catch that Tyreek made. Patrick Mahomes, I'm not going to lie, he's a fine quarterback, right? He's fine, but he's not going to perform like that every single week. But the Chiefs always find a way to show up at StubHub Center in Carson versus the, almost said San Diego Chargers. No. Los Angeles Chargers
Oh, man.
And they always find a way to show up. And the Chargers defense was a little lacking. They're getting back to it. The Chargers, they look good themselves.
They do look really good.
Phillip Rivers
look really
good.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen looked good. Melvin Gordon looked really good.
Okay, well, we have to go into who looked really good, and that's your boy, Aaron Rodgers. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this.
Please let me talk about this.
Yes, I know. I'm giving you such a big platform for this.
Please let me talk about this.
I mean, let's just go off. One of the most talented quarterbacks ever, and even let's talk about how Tom Brady, you guys, I'm going to read this comment, has actually commented, Aaron Rodgers is much more talented than me. What can you say to that? I mean, I guess it makes sense. Here's the problem is that Aaron Rodgers needs a better offense, and that's what that's what Tom Brady has. So I think that that's something that is so important for people to realize that obviously, you know, Aaron is just as talented, if not more, but he just needs the help. He needs the help, period.
He does.
But what a comeback. Let's talk about this game. And with an injured leg, I mean, I don't know. There's so much to say, but let's start with just the comeback, your thoughts.
Comeback. Do I have a platform? Is this my platform?
Go, boy.
Okay.
And go.
Hey. Well, first of all,
I'll respond to our live chat while you're talking.
Go for it. Go there, because I'm just going to give a nice little look to anyone who decided to doubt Aaron Rodgers in any sort of situation. I'm not going to lie. I'm a huge Packers fan, if you couldn't.
Right.
I don't know if this is. I mean, I don't think you can tell, but like, Aaron Rodgers, when I saw him go down, I was so sure it was it. And it could be it. But when he went down with that leg injury and he was carted off, it reminded me of when he played the Vikings and he got that collarbone injury. And I was like, please just take my collarbone, honestly. It's not that great, but it'll be better than a broken one.
Absolutely.
It was devastating. And then they brought in DeShone Kizer, who last year took the Browns to, I think it was, let me just check real quick, 0-16. And DeShone Kizer gave up the ball to Khalil Mack, and they scored, and it was like 17-0 for the Bears. The Bears went into halftime up 17 points. If anyone doesn't know, that's two touchdowns and a field goal right there. They went up 17 points, and the Bears felt good. Mm-hmm. They had guys like Al Robinson, Mitch Trubisky was looking good. Khalil Mack, their addition from the Raiders, everyone thought that was it. Why bring Rodgers back with Khalil Mack there? The Packers regret not trading for him. The Bears are so happy. The Bears are back. Then Aaron Rodgers comes out in the second half. Packers go down 20-0. Aaron Rodgers leads a drive. One drive. Devontae Adams, touchdown.
Yeah, so good.
Bears come back, don't score. Next touchdown drive. Back of the end zone to Geronimo Allison. Bears don't score. Next touchdown drive. No, I'm sorry, I'm lying. The Bears do score. The Bears get a field goal. Packers are down, what, six? Next touchdown drive. Long pass to Randall Cobb. Touchdown. Extra point. Packers win 24-23.
So good.
Aaron Rodgers leads the Packers back down 20 in the second half. 20 points.
Yeah.
20 points.
Okay, so here's the thing. He obviously delivers. Do you think this injury is at a risk? I mean, are they going to now pull him back?
No, it's a risk.
Yeah.
They're going to pull him back. They're not going to use him as much. It's a real risk. They know about last year.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, when he's healthy, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks. Probably the greatest quarterback in the league.
Yeah, and it's been argued that he's the greatest. Yeah.
He can draw free plays better than anyone, drawing the team on a neutral zone infraction and getting these free plays. Hail Mary King. I'm talking about the miracle in Motown, the playoff game versus the Giants, the playoff game versus the Cardinals to Jeff Janis. He really amazing. He throws off the back foot better than anyone, creates the most time in the pocket,
right.
is able to escape the pocket and throw on the run. If you look at that game versus the Cowboys where mm-hmm. Mason Crosby had the game-winning field goal, not this playoffs, but last playoffs, he was injured. Thanks, Minnesota. Appreciate it. But, yeah, I got some things to say about the Vikings. Not Kirk Cousins, not my team, but, like, the Vikings.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
But just he can throw the ball so mm-hmm. well. He can create space so well. I mean, I was about to say versus that game versus the Cowboys in the playoffs mm-hmm. in 16 or 17, two mm-hmm. seasons ago, through the Jared Cook, mm-hmm. they got the field. He's
stupidly good.
He's stupidly good. And he's one of the most aware players. And the thing Aaron Rodgers can do better than anyone mm-hmm. is Tom Brady can do it really well too, mm-hmm. but he can draw out players that people haven't heard of.
Yeah.
Geronimo Allison, Jeff Janis, mm-hmm. Richard Rodgers. He puts all these players on pedestals because he finds them. Geronimo Allison was a top look for mm-hmm. the Packers. Mm-hmm. They have Devontae. They got rid of Jordy. Him and Jordy were special. He had got Lance Kendricks. No one knows who that
but
is,
this
but Rodgers
still
finds
him. Even with the
him.
Contract, even with being beloved in Green Bay, all these
he's
things.
Oh my
he's,
God.
He's so beloved. My question is how, you know, again, with the injury, it's just like how, and not having the offense he needs, how are they going to even be contenders, you know, for a championship this year?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is the offense he needs.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, sure, you can put a million people around him, mm-hmm. but Aaron Rodgers just needs a guy who can catch a mm-hmm. ball, and that's all. Because mm-hmm. he can put it exactly where you need it mm-hmm. to go. If you look at that pass to Randall Cobb at the end of the game, he threaded the needle so mm-hmm. well. And Randall Cobb's an amazing receiver. Devontae Adams is an amazing receiver.
Yeah.
Geronimo Allison, people haven't heard of, and he was still getting the ball to him. Jeff Janis, in that game, in that playoff game where they eventually lost in overtime, Larry Fitzgerald was just feeling extra mean and scored in overtime. The way he threw up that Hail Mary, his Hail Marys have been to, besides Randall Cobb, they've been to Richard Rodgers in Detroit, and they were to Jeff Janis, mm-hmm. who was off the team. But he was a kick return specialist, just like Trevor Davis is now. They used him so well, and Aaron mm-hmm. Rodgers put the ball so well that he knew a guy like Jeff Janis, and no offense to Jeff Janis, but he's not a Devontae Adams, could catch it. Mm-hmm. That's what Rodgers does. A guy like Jared Cook isn't a wonderful, wonderful, amazing tight end,
right.
but he can catch a ball on the sideline, tiptoe catch, if Rodgers puts the ball in the right place, which
right.
he can do like no one else.
Yeah.
You see guys who are like low. If you take a guy like that and you put him on another team mm-hmm. with a mm-hmm. I just hit my mic, with a quarterback mm-hmm. not like Aaron Rodgers, he's just they're not going to perform.
Yeah,
they're really not going to perform like you want them to. And like that's the thing. I'm switching over to the Browns, and we'll talk about the Browns in a second because
they
did a crazy little thing.
Yeah,
but a guy like Josh Gordon is a really good receiver, mm-hmm. but he has not had the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Even with Tyrod, even mm-hmm. with Baker, he mm-hmm. does not have the quarterback to be where he needs to be. Neither
right.
does Jarvis Landry, and Jarvis Landry never really had it with Ryan Tannehill or Jay Cutler. And none of those guys do. Mm-hmm. Even the run game there, Carlos Hyde is a great running back. Isaiah Crowell is a good running back. Nick Chubb is kind of showing out, mm-hmm. but they're never in the position with the Browns to actually show up and get touchdowns and get red zone
right.
touches because the Browns never get there.
Yeah.
And this game with the Browns was interesting. Mm-hmm. Would you like to let us know what happened with the Browns?
No, you can, but
you
before
want me
we
to.
Get
well, wow.
we're going to get to that in a minute because I have to talk about two other things and before we dive into
right,
individual games. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Such a fan. I think what's so interesting about him is that He obviously drafted third. I can't wrap my brain around how good he is and how he was drafted third, first of all. I mean, I know that obviously, I don't know, he should have been drafted before Saquon, all of this stuff. My point is, let me get to that. My question for you, do you think the Giants are in full mode regret for passing on him? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk about this. Like, youngest franchise quarterback. I mean, I have all this stuff here. Composed. He's got infectious leadership. He's, you know, had one, excuse my language, but hell of a first game. He's proving to everyone. He's the whole package. I wonder if the Giants are sitting back a little bit and they're like, we passed on him. Your thoughts?
I don't think the Giants are there.
Okay.
I think the Giants still have faith in Eli, and I think they're willing to go into the next couple drafts and grab a quarterback, but if I got Saquon Barkley out of the draft, I would be so happy. I mean, the Browns obviously always go quarterback, and they were feeling strong at running back, so they didn't want to go pick up Saquon. But Saquon Barkley is probably going to be the best player out of the mm-hmm. draft, for sure. No doubt.
No, he's an incredible running back.
The best skill player out of the draft.
But I think that, I mean, obviously, like, in terms of a QB and a running back, I just feel like a QB I don't know.
Has more franchise potential. That's true. And I think the Jets made a really smart pick, not going with a guy like Josh Allen or Josh Rosen. I think it was really smart to go after a guy like Sam Darnold. They like his height. They like his size. He's really calm.
He's darn good.
Oh, Lord. Of course he is.
I can't take credit for that. That was in the New York Times. But it was pretty dope.
You know what? Come on, New York Times. What are you doing? But he was the only out of the like the four... Five, you count Lamar Jackson, rookie quarterbacks. You know, Josh Allen didn't really get the start.
Right.
Baker didn't get the start. Josh Rosen didn't get the start.
Right.
Lamar Jackson didn't get the start. He got playing time.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets put all their trust in him because they showed that when they traded Teddy Bridgewater to the Saints.
But not only did they not only are they putting their trust in him, he's delivering. So that's delivering. Something else that's impeccable to comment on. But I really would love to talk about how the Jets defeated the Lions. Do you think that it's just hype, you know, in this moment because of this game, or do you really think the Jets are as good as they are? Because that was a crap game. The Lions are terrible. So, I mean, are we comparing
2008, I think, Lions? One of those two.
My
I think
point
it was 2008
is,
Lions
like, are we over-glamorizing it because, you know, was it off balance? Was the game off balance?
I think we are over-glamorizing it.
Yeah.
I think this isn't it's week one, so it's not telling. This happens to a lot of teams.
Right.
The Lions just happened to be the one where a seemingly bad team just kind of rode the hype of Sam Darnold, and they rode the hype of Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Isaiah Crowell shows up, and he never really shows up, and he showed up because they had a good game.
Mm-hmm.
When your team scores a lot of points, players get more stats, and they show up. It looks like that they show up, but the team shows up.
Yeah.
That's the difference. If you can have a player show up, the team just kind of suck. Versus a whole team showing up, and that's what the Jets did.
Yeah, exactly. But I also think, you know, what's interesting to be said is when they play a champion-level team, how will that play differently?
That's
are they going to be overwhelmed?
Because the Lions are not a championship-level team. They're really not. They're like, mild, I would say, if I could describe them.
You could be nice.
If I could be nice. If I have to be nice to the Lions, I'll call them that. Mild. Matthew Stafford isn't a elite quarterback. They're trying to rely on Kerryon Johnson, Golden Tate, and Marvin Jones Jr. Not really exactly where they need to be. The Lions, Eric Ebron's not. They don't have. Everything's kind of there.
Yeah,
it's not there, but it's there. They're just not using it well enough, and the Jets just forced Matthew Stafford into such stress and peril, and he just gave a bunch of turnovers, and it was as defensive as it was offensive for the Jets.
Right.
And the Lions are a type of team. Being mild can have a game like that, even versus a team like the Jets, who I know are riding the hype, and do not get hype on the Jets right now.
Yeah.
It's the New York Jets, all right? Calm down.
With that said, we just have to give credit where credit is deserved, and
sure,
Sam Darnold is just
Sam
slaying
Darnold
the game
gets
right
the
now.
Credit.
So
he does.
So hats off to him. But our chat is blowing up. Thank you so much, you guys. We are going to be talking about the Cowboys. And speaking of the Cowboys, I know Bonnie Jill's not here, but just in honor of her, we're going to talk about her Cowboys.
All right,
what
we can talk
is
about
happening
Cowboys.
With Dez? Obviously, we know the dispute with the Redskins. He thought the Redskins looks great. The Redskins don't want him. Is this another example of, you know, Dallas ruining his career? I mean, they did that to T.O. Like, we just know there's a lot of conversation. They've ruined his reputation by talking about his, you know, his attitude in the locker room. He's too good of a player. No, he's not at the level that he was at. We can absolutely agree on that.
Dez used to be elite. Now he's not. I will say that.
Absolutely. But he's still a very valuable player. And technically, he could still be very valuable to the Cowboys. But the point is, where does he go? What does he do? How is he still not part of the mix?
We looked at the Browns. I know we looked at the Redskins, and being a Redskins fan, if I heard Dez Bryant joining my team, I would be angry. Mm-hmm. I know he's a great, great wide receiver, but the thing is with Dez is he tracks in so much money, and he's not worth all that money, and he's only going to be asking for that money. And when people don't pay him like that, it's not going to work.
Right.
I mean, look at a guy. I'm going to transition to basketball over for a quick little second, like one little kind of jump. Luol Deng, who got paid so much, gave him to the Lakers, and just didn't show up, and then the Lakers bought him out, and then he got signed by the Timberwolves for what he was actually worth.
Sure.
Or Timberbulls, I should say. But that's kind of how it works. Dez, I don't think with his, ego, but being who he is,
right.
he's not really going to want to take a pay cut, mm-hmm. and teams really don't want to pay him. That's the reason the Cowboys cut him.
Sure.
They cut him because he was making too much money, yeah. and with a guy Dak, he wasn't performing.
But and there's been no surprise, though, and no undercut of his attitude as well. And I wonder if Dallas is just, I don't know. I mean, I just think that it's one thing to let a player go. It's another thing to kind of smear their reputation.
They really did. They really didn't do a good job of that.
I just think, that, of course, he, like I say, still a great player, not elite, right? But I just think that there's something to be said about the fact that it's a shame he's not
It
playing.
Is. So, you know, I'd love to see him playing. I think he still has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
He just, that Cowboys team did, when they first got Zeke, they did real good. Mm-hmm. Like, really good.
Right.
Like, top of the NFC type good. And then Ezekiel Elliott had the suspension, and he's kind of gone downhill. He still mm-hmm. still can eat, okay? He still is a strong running back, a power back. He knows how to find the hole. But Dak Prescott for the Cowboys has gone so downhill. Mm-hmm. His first year, everyone was like, oh, my God, who's this? Amazing with Dak Prescott.
Hype, yep.
Then, like, taking over for Tony Romo mm-hmm. after they finally just kind of gave him up and he became, like, some sort of wizard.
Right, another franchise quarterback. Hype, yes.
But, I mean, the receiving core now is just god awful, and like a guy like Cole Beasley isn't going to be able to take them to elite, and a guy like Dak Prescott's not going to be able to take them to elite.
Right.
He's not
right.
enough of a quarterback. Sure, he's mobile, and sure, he's like a lesser Russell Wilson right. or like a lesser, I'll say Deshaun Watson, but he didn't really show up this week, did he?
He
but
did not.
Give him
That's
time.
Not a good
give
example.
Him time. He had his injury. Yeah. Deshaun Watson will be fine. Don't worry, Texans fans.
Mm-hmm.
But a guy like Dak Prescott, on the other hand, has had time to be fine, and he hasn't been fine.
Right.
He slumped, and I was like, okay, all right, cool. Get out of the slump. Be mm-hmm. Todd Gurley. Have an amazing year after a sophomore slump. Nope. Nothing. Yeah. He's not coming back up. He went here. If you can see me, he was up here. My hand's way up high. Slumped down and just kind of stayed there.
Yeah, for our Maybe podcast, he's declining. But
yes,
basically.
He's declining for the listeners.
Well, let's some good conversation about some standout players. Let's go into some standout games. We've got the Packers and the Bears, Steelers and the Browns, Eagles and the Falcons, Saints and Buccaneers, Patriots, Texans, Rams and Raiders.
We can't talk
about all of them, but can we start with your pick? What out of those games really stood out to you? What were some things that were surprises?
Oh, well.
I thought Miami looked good, too, though, by
Miami
the way.
Miami looked whatever. Nice. In that game, you know, had a couple thunderstorm suspensions, and Marcus Mariota kind of got a little roughed up.
Yeah.
But Miami was Ryan Tannehill being back.
Yeah, they're looking good.
Kenny Stills looking real nice.
Yeah.
The game that stood out to me the most, and I will say it, and I think everyone, besides for the Packers game, mm-hmm. a little bias here.
Sure.
Steelers-Browns.
Yeah, of course.
And I will admit when I'm wrong. You said that was a game to watch for, and I said, it's the Browns, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me that look. I was wrong. I was wrong, okay? I was wrong about the Cleveland Browns, but I wasn't all that wrong about the Cleveland Browns. They didn't win, but the Cleveland Browns are probably the only team ever to break a losing streak by not winning. They tied 21-21 mm-hmm. in overtime. A lot of people, if they're just recreational fans, they don't realize that ties in football are possible.
Yeah, right, and that was actually my other question for you. Do you think there should be a tie?
No.
Do you think
Mm-mm.
I don't either. I think
play
like let's
over.
Yeah, play until it's over, or like let's do a field goal situation. I just to me tie is just such a awful anticlimactic
wrong type
end
of
sports.
Football.
We're not playing that type of football.
It's a good type of football. We're not playing it.
It's not amateur league here. So I just wish that there was not a tie, but
no.
That's just my opinion.
I think it should be playoff standards where mm-hmm. they just let teams play until someone scores, and if it takes. Takes so long, then
sure.
you can rework the rule, but it really is not. It's a rarity that teams do tie, and when they tie is they play the overtime period, and
yeah.
if no one scores at the end of overtime, or two
right.
teams hit field goals, if the score is tied at the end of overtime, it's a tie. And teams, if they tie in the first week, which hasn't happened, I think, since 71,
right.
They go 0-0-1. That's their record. It's a third column, and that's a tie.
Yeah.
And pretty much what happened was the Browns came back on the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers kind of had control. I told you James Conner did really good. Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster.
See, I wanted you to explain this. I knew you wanted to. You asked me to.
I wanted to.
On.
You know I want to get into
Give
it.
Give the people what they want.
And then the Browns came back. The Steelers had, I think, I want to say like six turnovers. Big Ben was terrible because
he couldn't
rely on Le'Veon.
He was dropping the ball literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Exactly. The ball got hit up in the air, and the Browns got the ball. And then they bring it back, and overtime comes.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Boswell, I'll start from even earlier. The Browns get the ball first, mm-hmm. don't score.
Yeah.
Boswell gets a field goal chance.
Yeah.
Excuse me, misses it.
Mm-hmm.
Zane Gonzalez, the Browns kicker. The Browns get a turnover, are in field goal range. There's a couple seconds left on the game clock. Mm-hmm. Has the chance to win the game for the Browns and botches the field goal. Mm-hmm. I think it was blocked. I don't know for certain. Mm-hmm. T.J. Watt looked really smiley at the end of it. Mm-hmm. But Zane Gonzalez missed the field goal in all Browns fashion, and they tied. Mm-hmm. And looking as a Browns fan, it's kind of like, okay. Like, we went 0-16 last year and hadn't won a game in, like, 600
days. Yeah, Browns fans are stoked that it was a tie. Absolutely.
We hadn't won a game since there was a missed field goal versus the San Diego Chargers in 2016. Sure. We're fine. Like, we're okay. If you're a Steelers fan, on the other hand, you don't go, okay, we tied. We tied with the team. Yeah. No. You go, what did we just do?
Yeah, especially when you're playing the Browns with that reputation.
The Browns are that automatic win team on your schedule. Sure. That's how you want to look at them. There are a couple teams like that. And if you lose to those teams, that's when you're going to have a tough year.
Yeah, it's definitely a shakeup. The terrible towel team is probably freaking out a little bit. But it's early in the season. As we know, first game, they can shake it off. I know we're kind of winding down time here, but I do want to dive into the Rams and the Raiders.
What a
game. I mean, obviously, they were swallowed a little bit in the first half. I'm sad about the Rams. But they banded together. Their defense banded together. I mean, it's a new look. And I just think McVay has done such a good job.
The best job.
Composure. Honestly. Like, one of the best coaches in the league.
He really is.
Yeah. I just have so much to say about this, but I think what's important to know is they were so out of sync in the beginning.
They were. It was a real close game, and everyone's like, the Raiders are back, Marshawn Lynch, and they were looking like, how many draft picks can I get from Marshawn Lynch now?
Yeah.
But they had a guy like that, and he was just producing, and it was like 13-13, and then the Rams just turned it on. They are a win-now team, getting guys like Brandon Cooks and getting guys like Marcus Peters and, you know, getting guys signing Aaron Donald to a huge deal. They really want to win now. Jared Goff is improving. They have guys like Cooper Kupp getting much better. Robert Woods.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley. Excuse me.
So good. 147 yards. So good.
Still so good.
Do you think that I'm kind of curious what happened. Do you think the tempo was too much for them in the beginning of the half? Do you think that it could have been just some synchronicity that was off?
I think the Rams, when you acquire a lot of new pieces, you need to find yourself.
Yeah.
Give it a half.
But isn't that what preseason's for? So I just kind of wonder
It is, but it isn't. Preseason, people don't really go full out. That's why week one's so strange, because a lot of teams take the full game to find themselves. Right. A lot of teams just need a half.
Sure.
They needed one half, and then they won, like, 33-13.
Right.
That's
so good.
That's all they needed.
So good. And, I mean, we have to give, again, credit where credit's deserved. Oakland came out strong.
They played hard. They're still a strong team.
Yeah.
Derek Carr was down, then up, then down. You got to ride the wave of Derek Carr at this point. Right now, you're down.
Yeah.
But the Raiders, they came out strong. I know they'd acquired Jordy Nelson from the Packers, a veteran who's just kind of one of my all-time favorites, but he's really gone downhill. Mm-hmm. And they looked like they were back, and then the Rams just took advantage of no Khalil Mack back in the secondary, and it just
so good. They slammed the door. And I think that's something to be said,
and
too.
And their defense, too.
Yeah, I mean, but we know their defense, just like you said, just need to kind of massage out those kinks the first half.
It is
such a good game. I mean, I definitely think that they are going to be
the Rams are the real deal.
Yeah, they're
this
the real
year,
deal.
I'm not going to lie to you, if they are.
And I hate doing predictions, but I think Super Bowl for sure. Yes,
really. Yeah, like what happened last year versus the Falcons?
I mean,
all right.
I don't know about the Falcons, but I definitely
maybe not
think
the Falcons. But say it. Go ahead, say it.
Yeah, I'm feeling the Rams in the Super Bowl this year.
That's what they wanted, though. That's where they want to go. They don't want to go like, okay, we'll almost get there, or we'll be. No, they were like, this year we're winning the Super Bowl. In the next 3 years, I don't know. But I mean, it's impressive, because when they hired McVay, like, they were nothing, and the Rams were. They traded away their pick so they can get Goff, and their pick was high, and I think it was like to Tennessee or something. And they were really, really bad coming from St. Louis, and they stepped it up like I've never seen a team step up in a long time.
It's strategic, too. They made the right choices. They revamped the defense way they needed to. And I just think that they are clearly a contender
this year.
I'm so excited to see how they
they're contending so
unfold.
Well, there's a lot of teams that you expect not to contend as well that do contend, and that was the Rams a couple of years ago when they just went, I think, like 13-3, and everyone was just so confused, and they had a really close game versus the Eagles, and they just sadly got knocked out of the playoffs too early. Right. But Todd Gurley shows up as the real deal. Brandon Cooks,
future Hall of Famer. Todd Gurley is
he's at
a whole other level.
And he kind of represents that. They have such a high-powered, fast-paced offense. Right. They can go to any of those guys. That's why Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods get such high numbers every week. Even with, like, number one like receivers like Brandon Cooks, you know, like Sammy Watkins, they gave him away to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I mean,
Chiefs.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, Chiefs. They don't really have. I mean, that's not. Sammy Watkins isn't the real deal from Buffalo. But they have such a high-powered offense, and you flip it over on the defensive side, they add guys. You know, they had safety like Marcus Peters, safety or corner. Excuse me. And they re-sign a guy like – thank you.
Yeah.
And they re-sign a guy like Aaron Donald, who is just
a beast.
Top two defensive – top three defensive players if you want to throw J.J. Watt Kalumak in there.
Beast. Such a good acquisition. So good. Can't wait to see what happens.
I'm excited for them. I think they got a lot of potential, and I think they're going far.
Yeah. I mean, do you have an East? I picked my West. You get to pick your East.
The West and East? My AFC?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone could say Patriots.
I also love that the NFC West, that the Rams are the only ones that won. So,
I mean, we can always say Patriots. I mean, the Patriots, they look good. The Texans.
No, okay, let's take out the Patriots. All right, I'm so tired of hearing the Patriots. Yeah, if we're not going with Patriots.
Well, if Leonard Fournette's out as much as they say he is, I can't go Jaguars. If I gotta go AFC.
I think the chat was going for Jags, actually.
I could say Jags, but it really hurts me to say Jags. I mean, the Jaguars, they're... Jacksonville, of course, you know, their defense with Jalen Ramsey and whatnot, but it's
three.
Oh, God. Two, oh, my God. I can't say Steelers either because everyone's like, why are the Steelers so bad? They have so many good players, but the Steelers just don't know how to produce.
All right. So you're
fine. Patriots.
Okay. Patriots. It is.
Fine.
We have to put a little pin in our NFL talk and go into just some other news. The NHL season. Whoop.
It's starting.
Preseason is starting Friday the 14th. I'm so excited. My Kings start on the 17th, I believe, or the 18th. I believe the 17th. So I'm just, how excited are you for, you know,
I'm
NHL?
Ready. I'm so ready. It's been a minute. And I'm really ready to see all these teams. You know, the Golden Knights just got Pacioretty.
They got Pacioretty. That was huge news
in
the
NHL. So excited for that. I'm really ready to see the NHL season and the NBA season with all these free agency acquisition startup.
Even more we could say about the NBA, but just NHL for me.
We'll leave it there. It's for a couple weeks.
There's so much transition, but Pacioretty, you know, people don't know, former Canadiens captain. He is going to be such a good acquisition, especially with losing Neal. I don't know. The Golden Knights are just, they're so strategic.
Good for him, too, because the Canadiens were, they're not the Canadiens they were.
They need a few years.
I mean, they lost Subban, and Shea Weber really wasn't amazing. So it's really nice for him to be on a team like the Golden Knights.
Yes,
they could use him they're going to use him so well.
He's going to shine. He's going to lead that team. I'm so excited to figure out, you know, and learn who their captain's going to be. But, so hockey starting up, and then I just want to give a little tip of my hat to Serena Williams for anybody that may not know. She did lose the U.S. Open, but you guys, so much drama unfolding. There was so much controversial calls. There was booing. She lost to Naomi Osaka, but she, just class act. So I don't know if anybody knows, but
of course
she was in a lot of fights with the umpire, just very questionable calls. This woman, I mean, again, if not the best tennis player in the world of all time, and she had every reason to lose her beep, and she was, you know, for the most part composed, and I mean they're looking at slapping over the $17,000 fine, but I just think that she is such a powerhouse because everyone's just after her. She's such a strong player, but I, you know, if you look at the ceremony when she won, she was just so there for her, you know, competitor, and I just think
she's really an icon.
That is what sports is about.
That's
is being
exactly
able to rise above the
about.
Circumstance. So.
It's really about rising above, and it's about companionship and sportsmanship and knowing it's a game, and knowing to be proud of someone, because if you were there, you'd want them to be proud of you if you won.
Yeah,
and she's such an icon, and she has been for years. This isn't a new thing.
Right.
Like here she comes. Like
no,
she's here and she's here to stay.
And runner up. I mean, again, let's just talk about how long she, you know, she was out for a little while. Obviously, the baby. Like and runner up. And there's so much controversy around. I feel really bad for Naomi because we know that, you know, she just kind of feels like, well, it should have been Serena. However, with that said, I just. There's so much to be said about who won, or you know, it doesn't matter who won. It was about the attitude behind
it.
And
it's
Serena
always about
just
the attitude.
Such a champion. So one, you know, just an incredible display of sportsmanship, and we just have so much more to talk about. We will carry the conversation into next week. We hope you guys can join us. I am Becky Sotero.
David Bloom. Find me, David H. Bloom.
And we will
Twitter.
Skype in our fearless leader Bonnie Jill from San Francisco next week. Thank you for joining me, David, and
thank you for joining me
in the chat, everybody. So much good conversation. I'm sorry I didn't really get to comment more, but I will. So we'll catch everybody next week at 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
Standard Time.
I got a snake in my tongue today. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.